Amendments to the Murray-Darling Basin Plan agreed on this week have drawn criticism from environmental experts, but a bipartisan side agreement could see major progress on Indigenous water rights. The Wire's Rachel McDonald investigates.
We really need to allow for Indigenous communities to come to the table as equals and to contribute their perspectives, their knowledge, their values, their vision for water management, and to be involved in all aspects of water management, not just the more obvious environmental dimensions.
That's Professor Sue Jackson of Griffith University, who has experience both in resource management and Indigenous resource rights. She explained the agreement that's been made between the two major parties.
Both the major parties have agreed to improve Indigenous access to water throughout the Murray-Darling Basin. So the agreement recognises that Indigenous people need to benefit more from the changes that have been occurring in Australian water management and governance over the last 20 years or so.
So how much power have Indigenous groups been given in water agreements in the past?
Well, very little to date. So when Indigenous communities find water resource developments being proposed, they are not given any right of consent. They are merely consulted on water licences. This agreement will generate a funding program that will allow Aboriginal groups throughout the Murray-Darling Basin to access water for either economic purposes or for cultural and environmental purposes.
Now, there's been significant concern over the environmental impacts of the amendments. Is there a possibility giving Indigenous groups more agency in caring for the river could offset some of that?
Well, I think that's the position that many Indigenous communities maintain at the moment. It's very likely that many Indigenous groups, should they get the opportunity to access water through this new funding arrangement, they're very likely to want to use it to restore wetlands, river systems, billabongs and creeks throughout the basin. We see many Indigenous groups forming environmental organisations, ranger groups, developing partnerships with the environmental water holders throughout the basin and with farmers and others to try to restore these wetlands. And so I imagine this program will very likely give a serious boost to that effort.
Now, why do you think the government has made this decision? Do you think there's genuine goodwill here, or is it an attempt to counteract the negative attention other aspects of it have been receiving?
I think that there has slowly been a recognition that Australian society has really a serious blind spot when it comes to Indigenous water rights. We've seen groups advocating for a stronger say, and I think governments are realising that the time is long due for Australian society to recognise Indigenous water rights and to do more to make sure that our water trading systems, our environmental water management programs all address their needs and concerns.
Professor Sue Jackson from Griffith University. The Murray Lower Darling Indigenous Nations represents communities from the Murray Mouth to the Macquarie River and is one of the groups that stands to benefit from the agreement. Executive Officer Will Mooney says it's a mixed blessing for Indigenous people along the river.
On the one hand, the agreement slashes over 600 billion litres of water from the environmental water recovery target in the southern part of the basin. To put that into context, Sydney Harbour holds about 500 gigalitres, so this is a significant volume of water that will not be recovered from consumptive users to support the environmental health of the basin. On the other hand, the agreement struck between the ALP and the government does include a significant commitment to supporting Indigenous outcomes and Aboriginal participation in water markets in the southern part of the Murray-Darling Basin. This is the first time we've seen a significant commitment and bipartisan support for an allocation of funding to recognise First Nations rights and interests by actually supporting acquisition of water entitlements.
So how important is it for Indigenous groups that the river be cared for?
Look, it's absolutely critical. For the First Nations who make up our membership, water is the lifeblood of country. Many areas within the Murray-Darling Basin, as you know, are dry, semi-arid. For tens of thousands of years, these waterways, these wetlands and floodplains were the cultural hotspots for First Nations in the basin. You know, the supermarket, the gathering places, source of life and water and sustenance. So maintaining the health of our inland river systems is absolutely critical to the survival and the continuity of these ancient and significant cultures within the basin.
What does it mean to the groups along the Murray-Darling that they might be a part of the management of the river, a greater part?
Historically, Aboriginal people have had to fight and push to get the doors open, to get a seat around the table, to have an input into decisions about how water is managed. And that's shown in the fact that we have the degradation that we've seen within the Murray and Darling systems, if traditional ecological knowledge had been part of those decisions, we think it'd be much less likely to lead to such terrible outcomes as we see in some parts of the system. There are international agreements that the Australian government has signed. The United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People says that Aboriginal people have a right to manage their natural resources on their own country. Australian governments have not implemented that declaration. They're still far behind in doing that, but Aboriginal people will continue to keep caring for their waterways on country as they always have.
Will Mooney, Executive Officer of Murray Lower Darling Rivers Indigenous Nations, ending that report by The Wire's Rachel McDonald.